And let's face it, you've got friends on Facebook. And I'll tell you what, I kind of wanted to talk today about some of the things that everybody seems to be experiencing in their lives along with this pandemic.
Hi, it's Justine Thomas with another version of Let's Talk with Justine Thomas. I've got Joe in the studio once again, back from vacation.
Yes, rested up.
Thanks for coming back.
Sure, absolutely. Was I missed?
You were missed. And I'll tell you what, I have to tell you, you just look vibrant and healthy and like... This 2 weeks that you took was the best 2 weeks of your life. So tell us why.
Well, it's just the tan. I was pasty white before and I looked sickly and now I don't look so sickly anymore. That's all. No, really, when you're able to disconnect, like really disconnect, not do electronics, not have the daily stresses, I mean, it'll bring you back from the brink. That's for sure.
Well, it's amazing just shutting off your cell phone.
Yeah.
How that helps.
Well, the areas I was in was pretty shitty and there wasn't a lot of, you know, data connection or, you know, cell phones didn't work all that well out in the island. So it was actually a little bit of a blessing.
Well, I saw some of the areas you were in. They were actually gorgeous.
Well, shitty as in technologically disconnected. We'll say that.
Purposely.
Yes. On purpose. Specifically picked for that reason. Well, we used to take cruises because I loved it. You were in the middle of the ocean. Nobody could get a hold of you anyway. I was forced to like slam it in the room and not bring it out until it was done. It was great just to have that thing buzzing in your pocket and checking the chime 5,000 times a day. It was just great.
And emails going off and people's hair on fire and you're like, there's nothing.
And before it was happening and I tried not to care. Now it doesn't happen because everybody knows that I'm disconnected and I got people covering it now. It's just great.
Yeah.
Love
it. When you come back, you just pick up where you left off and life is good.
Yeah. Back in the early 2000s, I did NASCAR promotions for a race car driver and we would go down for Daytona in February and Daytona is sort of like an event that's strung out over multiple days. So when I was away for like 7 days and when I would come back, it would take me every bit of 2 months to undo all of the crap that hit fan while I was gone. And it just sucked. It made me not want to go places because of the fallout when I was away.
Exactly. I was just going to say that, you know, you build up this vacation time and it's like, you have to take it. But then when you come back, you're like, why did I ever go? Why? And then they get that sick gut feeling. So
It took me 40 plus years to get to the point where I didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Have to worry anymore. But
that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
It's a real good feeling.
Everything, nothing caught on fire. It was great.
You got this glow and this tan going on.
You like that?
Didn't you use any sun US?
I did. This was with 50 plus. The sun was out.
And you guys are probably wondering who's the chuckling in the background. Well, we're going to blow it for Freddie.
We got a special guest here.
We got a special guest that won't show his face, but Thomas John, a longtime friend, local legend. He is in the studio over here with a mask. He looks like Bernie, but that's okay. Yeah. He just doesn't have gloves on. That's all. Can you hear it? That's the laugh you all know and love so much. But yeah, so what have you been doing these days?
Me?
Yes, you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, they can. I hope they can.
I've been retired. My only huge regret is... I'm still perfectly healthy, and April 1st will be 49 years.
49 years.
50 years.
Easy.
But why? Yeah. But why?
Wait, why? I mean, you only get one chance.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
Try again.
Great.
We could have had a big party for you, too, 50 years.
Yeah, whatever. That's just the idea.
Yeah, you
know, and especially when it just went away so arbitrarily.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that's why... which keeps me from being at all bummed, really, because, you know, on the other hand, people's lives and careers were completely destroyed by
I
was right at the point where I should have been out the door anyway. And the 6 months I was on furlough was the best.
But best years best of your, yeah.
Back from stress, right?
The best ramp up to retirement.
Right.
Because, if I had considered it at the beginning, I said, oh, God, no, I can't retire. Well, after 6 months of the grandkids in the house and nothing else, and they yes.
Right.
And learn to love it.
Then when it became permanent,
I was like,
okay.
Very cool.
So, see, Thomas John came from a background of promotions and the marketing and all that at iHeartRadio. And I was from another station across the street. But we were together through the years before that, before everything split off in the industry. And, he felt the pain of my job and I felt the pain of his and we know what, so this vacation is just,
It's great. You know, I mean, all the things that I probably would have had time for, but didn't think I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I literally have thousands of memorabilia things from
your days.
Oh my God, no. I just kept saying, I want to do something like this someday.
Well, you
know, years and years and years and years and decades pass. And now I'm actually doing something with them. Now I'm putting them on eBay and I'm having fun with the people that are, so that's fun. And I've always been doing high school and college PA announcing.
Sure.
I've always enjoyed that.
Sure.
You know,
it's just something you're doing, and this is for fun.
The only thing I do.
There's no stress because now you don't really have to be on a time frame.
I've got to get home from work so I can go to the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you found a whole new passion and a whole new way of going on and doing and enjoying life. And
it's frustrating because daughters and the grandkids are not here; they're somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you face time, over and over until it's, at least they're not going to forget who you are.
This is true
because you know there's so much face time getting done.
But that's good. And you get to see the kids whenever you want. You don't have to worry about vacation time and, I get these hours. And
that second shot tomorrow, and everybody will have gotten shots.
So you did get your shots and everything went fine?
Yeah.
Good.
The second one's tomorrow. And weirdly, I just got tested on the way down here because the Horizon League that YSU's in requires that everybody at the table gets tested.
Really?
Before the tournament starts, which is Thursday. So all these months, never been tested, ever. So I got tested about... hour ago, she said it was going to be 10 minutes, but I didn't want to wait. So, and my phone hasn't gone off, so I...
Was it as bad as what you thought it was? I mean, did they stick that thing all the
you
way
know,
into
I
your...
I was amazed at how tiny it was. I mean, it was literally a needle. I mean, they kept saying, I'm thinking Q-tips.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing was a needle. And it seemed to have, you know, material of some kind on the end, which must be what absorbs.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no width to it at all. It did come out my ear.
Did it? Shoved everything out that was in there.
Pretty good. Just by the time I was getting pretty thousand cooled out.
Man. You know, it's so funny because on Facebook, there's Dave Price that does the Idora Park. And going back to those memories, and yeah, I mean, you were right up there with everybody. I mean,
that was
your life.
Yeah, especially back in the day. Hot day, and they had, you know, we had spring things.
Oh, yeah.
And all those bands. And somebody just the other day I saw on Facebook somebody was commenting that, I know what it was, Pat Palumbo's book. I don't know if it's in the book, but they were commenting on things that the Eagles opened for Left End once. But actually, the Eagles opened for everybody. It was a spring thing. There were 21 bands. Pacific Gas and Electric was the headliner.
Oh, wow.
And the very first act that played at like 10 in the morning. With the Eagles. And I'll never forget, we used to have a little shack underneath the roller coaster,
mm-hmm.
which was really cool because when the roller coaster went by, the whole shack shook and just freaked out. So we'd take people in there who didn't know, and the first time we'd go by. So that's where we had the cheese plate and all that.
Okay.
So the Eagles play, they had Take It Easy, and that was it. So they played that, they did a 15-20 minute set. Came out, and they're in the little room. And we can walk in, it was me and Jerry Starr and Dick Thompson.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And there are the Eagles. And the guy goes, this was really fun, but I got to tell you, we're not going to be playing this stuff forever. And we all looked at each other going, yeah, all right. but that's true. They opened for 19 other bands. 19 other local
bands. Wow.
Wow. Way back then. I mean, and you see pictures, and you're in quite a few pictures that Dave will post, and you can see.
Well, you know, the other, I have very few frustrating things in my career. The other frustrating thing was I was always the guy with the camera. Always.
Yeah, and
always.
Still are.
Still am, yeah. Always. So I go in, they used to have big montages with someone who will go in throughout, from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
Huge montages with 40, 50 pictures in each one.
Uh-huh.
And I went in one day after I wasn't working there anymore. And I'm looking at all the frames like, there were like six pictures that I hadn't taken. And there were four.
And everything was yours.
So it's like, you know, people think, well, you didn't work there.
I'll tell you what. You remember the 4 o'clock high, everybody that's still, well, my age demographic that's listening to this now, they'll remember Thomas John with the 4 o'clock high. And you just had such a great life back then. You really did. I mean, look back at it now. And you think of all the memories and all the things you went through and all the places you've been and the events that you went to.
And it was freaky because everybody assumed I was young.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't that young. I got out of college and started at HOT as continuity director. Mm-hmm. I did that for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So
I didn't know that.
I finally started the Wizard in 77. I was 27 years old. And I'll never forget, there was one high school in Pennsylvania. They called me and said they wanted to be the man of the year. And they started going through all the, asking me all these questions. And they said, how old are you? I said, 27. They got deathly silent. They came up with some excuse. I heard what it was. And that was it. They hung up, but I was wow. They assumed. I was an 18-year-old kid. I mean, that's the kind of an 18-year-old kid would have. And they thought, one of our own.
One of
their own teachers.
Right? It's amazing to go back in time and talk to you. And even talked with Jerry Starr. Jerry Starr was, he's amazing. He's just an amazing individual.
You know, I think, you know, I'm coming on 50 years. He had 20 years in when I started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the first time I was ever here was Jerry's 30th birthday party.
Okay. Okay.
And that was the first night I was ever young son. And he chugged a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the introduction. Mm-hmm. Star and I were like that.
He's like, I like this guy.
I don't think at all, but I'm not to be around someone who can.
Oh, yeah. Jerry's sense of humor is just like no other. It is just, you can't say it's a dry personality. Yes, you know, I have never run across another one like it.
I was going to say, it's like dry on steroids.
Yes, dry on steroids. That's good. Yeah.
And you see it, the more left in the time.
Yeah.
I never heard him say a good word to any one of the members.
Oh.
It was just big brother constantly. Mm-hmm. Pimping you for this. Well, you guys didn't suck tonight. And that was just.
Dang.
That was just him.
Right? And you never break it. When you never break that, and then everybody just comes to you. But it's funny because you would think if you were putting it on, you would break it.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Never.
I'll tell you what, I will never forget the first day that I walked into WHOT. All these legends that I'm working, and I'm like, oh, you're, and then you meet Tom Pappas, you're idolized because you smoke and Bill, yes, and you're idolized by all these people, and you're just in awe, and then you're hearing them talk. I used to listen to you on the radio, and he had to look at me like, you dumb.
No, it's the cool thing. They remodeled our building. In fact, they finished the remodeling the day I went on furlough, and it now is the world's nicest mobile home or model home.
Right? Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like a model home.
No kidding.
Nothing touched. The walls are all perfect. All the furniture's there. No one has ever sat at them. Remodeled the building over 22 people, and now there are 9.
Yeah.
And, yep.
But those guys, I had the front desk, which used to be the reception desk, and I was out there for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And the workers came in, and they worked there for 5-6 months. And then near the end, one guy was talking to another guy when I walked in the room, in the AM studio, and Rivers was on. And he said, you didn't see me. And he said, yeah, ever since I came here, just freaked me out. Parents' voice, because my parents used to listen to him. And I said, oh, Rivers? I'm sorry, it never goes away.
Yeah.
It was just like,
yep.
Because yeah. I've been, you know, with these guys for months. No one had ever mentioned it. I never mentioned it. They never mentioned it. I had no idea. I'm assuming they don't know me from Adam.
Oh, your voice
because
gives you away.
I've been there for so long. And
yeah.
They were too young. It just happened that I wasn't too young for his parents. And they had it on back when I was on midday all day.
When somebody says something like that, like I used to listen to you on my way out to school on the school bus, and I'd be like, oh my but I don't know about, well, your voice and just your dialogue gives you away. You can't go anywhere without somebody recognizing you, right? Because I can go somewhere in a store and start laughing, and somebody will go around the aisle going, aren't you? And I'm like, no. Yeah, no, but you got to get it.
The best one of those was the old Austintown Cinema. Go with my wife, the Austintown Cinema, to see whatever it was. Walked in, no gear, nothing. Walked in, went to the girl, and said, 2, please. And she said, you're Thomas Jones.
That's awesome.
I swear to God.
That's awesome.
We all just looked at each other.
Two please. I don't care that Freddie's interviewing you later on. I love these stories. They're so, just to sit back, times were so much better then, as so much, we got away with murder. You know we did. I mean, things we could never pull off now that we should share maybe one or two stories.
Oh, I mean, going back to the Wizard days, it's hard to believe we literally played whatever we wanted to play.
You did.
Absolutely.
You did.
And that was all Jerry. You know, I think I added two songs in 7 years.
But yeah. You were playing B-sides, and nobody cared.
No sides.
Wow. No sides.
And these kids were never pressed.
And people, you know, they don't understand that when we were first doing radio, everything came out on vinyl. Everything was vinyl, and there was an A side and a B side, especially if you had a single. Jerry didn't care, and you didn't care if it was a hit. They played the B side of it that wasn't a hit, that eventually sometimes turned out to be a bigger hit, thanks to you guys. That, you know, and an example escapes me right at the moment, but there's just so much that I, coming in as a youngster, and I was right fresh out of high school, and I had learned so much and just was in stargaze from you guys and to hear your stories back then. And Jerry did a lot of our production work, and just the stories you guys would tell me would walk in, and his sound effects on different things. And I mean,
he was just and still would be. If he was back in the studio, he'd still be and the, that was back when people can't even grasp this. I have a hard time grasping it. I get it. Mm-hmm. It was back when you actually had to cut the tape for the radio button.
Oh, yeah.
And you had the little metal thing that had the
yes,
and
splicing.
You taped it and put it together. And if you wanted to make a loop, you actually, I can still picture this. You have a tip cord over here, a tip cord over here. And the loop would run 10, 12 feet away, mm-hmm. going through the capstans on both sides, so it would continue to run. As long as you pull the machine to the right tension, that thing, which now you do, takes you 10 seconds to do it on Odyssey or whatever it is you're using online, you know, or on computers. Back then, I mean, it was literally physical, chop it up.
Oh, yeah. And then you had splicing tape.
Couldn't imagine.
That was, of course, the first thing you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. The one time you didn't go in a hurry and you didn't make a copy, that's the time the razor blade slipped.
Yep, right.
So you got your finger at the same time, there's blood all over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No turning back.
It's funny you mention that, because I remember, like I said, the first day that I had walked into the radio station, and I think Johnny Hartwell was on the air at the time. That man, and I said it on my Facebook page because we're anniversary friends today. I will never forget sitting there in the HOT studio and watching Johnny do his spiel on the phone lines and then editing stuff out so fast. I mean, the man had a knack for that, and it was these reel-to-reel machines, and nobody will understand how difficult that is. And you've got to make sure that you're going over the reel-to-reel head so you can listen and make sure you chopped out back and forth. It was unbelievable, and this man had it down. Well, you guys did too, but I mean, that was my first experience of reel-to-reels and splicing and splice tape, and I just thought he was a crazy man. I really did. And then I got around these guys and I was like, oh God, what did I do? But I loved it. I loved it. You didn't mind going to work. In fact, you went to work thinking, what are we going to get into today? You really did. And no day was the same. Everything that you did the day before was totally different the next day going in. And it would, and the people that you met and the places that you went to and the memories that you made, they're just... they're not like today. I can tell you that right now.
You know, when I used to talk about high school career day. Funny, I think I gave this speech twice and they never asked me back again. The speech, although I turned out to be right, the speech was, first of all, y'all want to be in radio because you want to play your favorite song. Forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That ain't gonna happen.
It's not going to happen.
And the other part was, and I feel like a seer on this part, because I used to compare radio to the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the railroad. Think about 1875. The railroad was everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you wanted to go anywhere, you went on the railroad, and the railroad went everywhere, and people worked at the railroad, and everybody, the railroad was the center of the community, and if you had a railroad station, that was the biggest thing there was, and that was it. And like, well, the railroad's never going to go away.
Right, right, and now,
and
look.
I can tell these kids,
I think when kids want to get into our industry, and it was a great industry, I think they go on with blinders, and I think maybe back in the day that, oh, I want to do that and I want to be just like them. But it is such a different lifestyle now than what it was. Things are piped in that are satellite that we never had that opportunity. I mean, the way the stations were managed, if you lost your job at one station, you could walk across the street and literally land a job at the next station. And that other station was happy to get you because then they felt like, oh, we just stole him from them, you know? Now everybody owns everybody. And if you want to stay in the industry, you got to plan on moving. You got to plan on packing up and going. That was it. So this was your grassroots? This was
March of 1972.
No kidding. No kidding.
Owners.
Yeah, yeah.
So the situation changed, the buildings changed, but I
had the same job. Now, were you there when AC was there?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
together?
When you first start, were you there first?
He was working out at the night site.
Okay. He was on Blaine, started. And you were...
Both on Blaine. Okay. He was out at Cal Road.
Okay.
When I first started, because Booch was doing the morning show, and Johnny Kay was doing middays after that, and then Dick Thompson,
okay,
and then Steve Miller.
I can't believe,
I don't remember where I parked. I can't believe I remember order.
That's awesome.
but Ace was already working.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's got 50 years in.
Okay, because I wasn't sure. I knew you guys were right around the same time.
And then shortly after that, then he, you know, probably when, because when Boots left and Johnny Kay did the mornings, then it gets kind of hazy. But certainly on Blaine Avenue, which is across from Oakland Field, which is where we started out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ace was over there.
What a crew. What a crew.
Yeah.
It's the best time of your life, though, when you look back on it.
Well, it better be, because it was my whole life.
It was your whole life. But you look at it now, and you love retirement, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if you could do it on a sideline, would you still go back to doing it?
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I would do what I was doing before. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do what they're doing now.
Yeah. Things are so different. It's not the way we did it. And having studio guests and having bands that were able to actually come into the studio and talk with you, they don't do that now.
Are you able to play their record?
Yes.
No, it doesn't matter how good the band is. You can't play their record.
You can't play their record. You can't talk to them. You can't have a record rep arrange a small little acoustic thing on air, because that doesn't happen anymore. And I miss those days too, talking with all the record reps and the. It's sad.
Yeah, it's a completely different everything. We're mm-hmm. talking about somebody. Oh, when I did the thing on PIC with Eric Blomberg. We're talking about
Bombeck.
Bombeck. We're talking about the Agora.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, this is against another something people cannot possibly relate to, that we had a national monstrous act every single Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
For years.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason was the record companies subsidized it. Because if they wanted to get the music out to the hinterlands, in other words, outside of Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago, they had to send these bands out to play.
Mm-hmm.
So they would pick up the bill. They'd put up the band. They'd pay for them. And the Agora would pay $1,000
mm-hmm.
or 38 special.
And pack the place.
Or Russ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time they came back, it would be $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time it would be $25,000, so they wouldn't come back the third time.
Mm-hmm.
But we got those first two times for years. And then MTV came along.
Mm-hmm.
And now they took all that money that they had used and they put it all into making music videos.
Yep.
And from that day forth, it just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if you're the Cleveland Agora or the, you know, now you're scraping to get anything resembling a national act.
And back then, you would have never heard of COVID. You would have never heard of this stuff to just totally stop music in its tracks.
Yeah, and it could have happened. Back then, it could have happened somewhere and we just wouldn't have heard about it. Like
mm-hmm. now. Exactly.
You know? Like if it doesn't affect you, it didn't happen.
Right.
It's like the Weather Channel is always... favorite example. And people think that the weather is going completely crazy. Well, it hasn't. You just see every storm there is on your TV. Mm-hmm. If you count the ones that you actually had in your neighborhood,
it wasn't so bad.
We haven't had nothing. Weather's a problem. It just isn't.
It's right. The power but of the
when
internet.
When you're subjected to every disaster, mm-hmm. every weather disaster everywhere in the world, and they act like you need to go in the basement mm-hmm. because there's a storm in Quebec.
A hurricane coming through. Yeah, no. Times are so different. And you want to move forward and you want to embrace change. And we all have a hard time embracing change. I know I do from time to time. Okay, all the time. Okay, every day, every minute. But you do kind of wish you could go back and relive some of those memories and those things you'll never get away with.
Well, you know, the nice thing is, thanks to Joe and these things, you guys can do it.
Yeah.
With this.
Yeah.
Anything we want.
You know, I mean, this, yeah, exactly. It's whatever you want, and it's... You're sitting at the same mic, and you're talking to the same people, and, you know, in some cases, some of the AM stations... probably didn't have audiences much larger.
No.
Right.
Than
right.
What the podcasts are getting now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, and it's, I mean, it's all so relative. You look at the look at it from the standpoint of the companies mm-hmm. that own these things. And when the company that's remained nameless bought our group.
Yes.
The very first thing they said was, how come you don't have the same jocks on the air across the country all at the same time? And everybody in radio went,
uh-huh.
What?
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, TV does it. And then everybody really went, oh. And you realized that's where they wanted to be.
Right.
And it was like a 20-year plan.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it became a 10-year plan when COVID came along.
Mm-hmm.
Because COVID literally lopped 10 years off what they thought was going to be their plan mm-hmm. to get this done. From the day COVID started, by 6 months later, they were right where they wanted to be.
Oh, yes.
Where they would have been eventually.
Oh, yes.
They were getting there. That was the plan. They were going to get there. That was it. Topped off years mm-hmm. of what would have been the, you know, I mean, do you remember when they first started with voice tracking?
Oh,
and that
yes.
was local voice tracking.
Local voice tracking.
You weren't actually sitting there. You would voice track and it would run tonight. And we were mm-hmm.
Yes.
The death of live.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that was, so they had to get that in. Mm-hmm. So that was smoothed over and then everybody got used to it. And then the next time it was, well, we got a guy's voice track. He's in Pittsburgh. But he's going to voice track up here.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally it gets to the point where we don't know knows where the hell these people are coming from.
You don't
know. Somebody, and they're on every station across the country all day, every day. And that's just the way it is. And if you do it long enough, and it isn't as long as you think, the audience forgets too.
Oh, yeah.
And the audience doesn't say, wait a minute. Why is this person not in town? Nobody says that.
Nobody says it anymore.
People our age say it, but people our age don't listen to the radio anyway.
This is true.
So, you know, the kids, my God, my friend has two kids, 12 and 7. They don't know what a radio is. I mean, it's YouTube. And if they're
streaming.
If they're not playing Minecraft and Skyrim, it's YouTube.
Yep.
And they have no idea what a radio is.
Isn't that scary, though?
Well, I mean, it is and it isn't. It's hopefully it will...
We'll live on through Joe.
Yeah, right. It'll become this, you know. I feel bad for everybody except me because I got to live it all right up to when I really should have quit anyway, and then I got to quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but everybody else, how do bands make it? Are there any places in town that even have bands?
No, I mean,
there must be.
No,
I mean, I realize it could not be further out of the loop, but there must be a handful of places that have bands. My God, 1980s when there were 20 bands a night.
Oh yeah,
playing in town,
mm-hmm.
and 15 of them were really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
now it's zero, minimal.
And,
yep.
And how could it be otherwise? I mean, how could you have a band if there's no place to play? And you could be Justin Bieber and make it on YouTube, and he did, and he's a millionaire. So shut up, Tom.
I love him. Shut up, Tom. But things are so different. People now, if you're in a band or if you're, you know, an up-and-coming artist, you have to promote yourself. You no longer have those record reps behind you pushing and saying, hey, we need to do a concert here, a concert there. They look at your YouTube stats. They look at how many people are following you. They look at your comments, your reviews. They look at everything before they even think of signing you on a dotted line. And then when they're signing you, it's not like it used to be either, because they want you to do so many free promotional things and see if you can get a following. And they don't want to put the money out like that, like they used to in the earlier days and the fun days. So I don't know. Things are changed so much. And I miss those days. I miss working with all you guys. I mean, we had so much. Like I said, you go into the station, you never knew what to expect from day to day. And nothing was, you know, the poor salespeople having to deal with him, having to deal with Star and Tom Pappas and all of the jocks and stuff. I mean, Smoke and Bill. Oh, my goodness. I do miss Smoke. It's been
Steve Miller and I shared a house when I first moved here.
Wow.
So I lived in the Y. When I first moved here, I lived in the Y. That was an experience.
Oh, I bet.
For like, I've had it been 3-4 months. Mm-mm-mm. And I got out of this little apartment. And then I moved into Steve Miller, a house on the north side, just right up the street here. And we shared a house for a couple, 3 years. Talk about hyper. You talk about Joe being
Joe's a handful.
Having a work ethic. God, Steve Miller literally worked 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. But you did, and you didn't mind it because loved what you did.
Yeah,
you loved it.
Such an entrepreneur. He used to do nights, so he was on till midnight. And when he'd get off at midnight, he'd go to Holiday Bowl, and he'd get to Holiday Bowl by like 1 o'clock, and he'd spin records. And Rick, we play the drums. Rick. Like I say, I forget right part. Oh shoot, that's so sad. He would used to do middays on HOT, and he would anyway.
Okay.
He would do that, and then he wouldn't come home after that. He'd get done at like 4 a.m, and then he'd go out. He actually bought a truck that had a revolving sign on the top. Not revolving. I'm talking about electronic sign,
mm-hmm.
like the top of the Times building.
Mm-hmm.
No one had ever seen one of those. It was in Youngstown, and he would rent it. To sit out in front of festivals, and it would run. But in order to do that, you had to be out hustling it.
Oh.
And he would do that every day. By the time I'd get up at 9 o'clock to go to work, he wasn't even in yet from the night before. He'd show up as I was leaving.
And he was never tired.
And no.
He was like the little Energizer bunny, never tired.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Crazy.
Those are great days.
Reminiscing.
Those are great times. And that was just a small portion of...
Well, and there's so many eras of it. I mean, mm-hmm. I left HOT in, 83?
Was it 80? No, it was 80. Later than that. Because...
Oh, no, no. When we really left, it wasn't until the 90s. It was 90,
yeah, because I was going to say I was there. Yeah, I had just gotten there.
It was 92 when we left. When we got split off first, and we went to Knox Street.
Yes.
And we had 4 stations on Knox Street. That was... So then, but anyway, the point is, from then until now, you guys went through 5 sets of staff at HOT. I'd know a couple of them, because every once in a while we'd have a reunion, and Pappas would come back from Vegas, and everybody would get together, and I'd meet these
people. And we look forward to that, yeah.
Never knew the stories.
So if you're listening, Tom Pappas, you're due for another reunion.
Pappas, we love you.
We love you. Yeah, but we have the best of times when we all get together and we all talk about, and they'll still bring up stories if we're all sitting around some restaurant. And it's like, oh my God, you got away with that. And if finally, I'll never forget, and you probably, were you there when they were talking about the flamethrower van? And how the jocks were... They wondered how the top got dented, and here it was. They were dancing at some event on top of the van. Pappas was like, "You did what? Who did what?" And they're like, "Yeah, we were in the van pounding it up."
Oh, yeah. No, that was after me.
Oh yeah, those were the days. But I mean, they were a powerhouse. They were a powerhouse for many, 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 many years. Yeah. It was a great time, and the stories still will unfold once you start sitting around and you start thinking and. Yeah.
I don't want to think anymore because I got to talk to Fred.
I know.
I'm putting my mask up. He's just going to talk about this.
Okay, like, Bernie. But it was so nice to have you at least give us a little bit of a
surprise. I had no idea what I knew where this building was, but I thought, is the
broadcast museum on the other side? Is it in this building?
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Because there is a broadcast museum. Right?
Yeah, I've never been there.
Really?
I assumed it was part of the broadcast museum.
Mm. No, this is part of Joe's museum.
Address, when you came in the door, I saw you walking away. I knew where to go.
This is Joe's museum.
You got to go to the broadcast museum. I think it's out the door here and to the right on Federal, down about a block.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to check that out.
And last time I was in there, it had everything, and they were donating. Everybody donates everything to there that they had. And in fact, I remember Keith Kennedy at iHeart was talking about, well, we should donate this to the museum when we just did this remodeling, finished a year ago.
Oh, no kidding.
I think it's still there.
We have to go check. You look at him. He's checking it out right now.
Yeah. I'll check it out after the show.
I can't imagine what would even be in there.
Oh, all the old TV stuff. If you're at KVN Radio, was on the air this is going to be wrong, but it's in just a matter of a couple of years after KDKA,
mm-hmm.
which is the first radio station on Earth.
Wow.
And KVN wasn't significantly long after that they went on the air.
And it's all down there.
And then, you got Alan Freed, started in Newcastle, ended up working at KVN. So all that stuff is in the museum, all the early TV stuff, because as early as there was TV, there was KVN TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, all the old cameras, they've got the big cameras. It's a
wow
laid out place. I think it's
we by, have to go see. I think it's still
by,
around
by appointment only. I don't think you can just go in there.
No kidding. That'd be great.
As soon as we're off, you guys do this too on your computers. It's called Googling.
Googling. We know how to Google.
We got the Google machine.
Joe's the best at it. So when we're off, we're going to Google and find out what's there and how you get in.
Who would have ever thought back in the day that we would be Googling on computers? When computers first came around, we were so scared of them, and they were not friendly, and they were not our friends. It was horrible.
I was programming at 12 years old.
Yeah.
I spent my 13th birthday. Yeah, yeah. 13th birthday programming something during my party. I was a nerd.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, who would have thought? I mean, we were scared of beta, and we were scared of, all this stuff.
Betamax. It's been a while since I heard that.
That shows you how old I am.
Those big video discs.
Yes.
Like records.
Yeah.
But see, we don't... Freddie does. He'll bring bands on and play music. But for the most part, we don't have the luxury of, letting the music talk and then we come back. And this is just us. And I remember when we were first started doing these podcasts, people were like, what are they doing? And now we're becoming a staple with people.
Right.
So they tune in to see what are these people going to be doing next, because you just don't know.
Yeah.
And with the next show that's going to be coming in as I'm exiting out, you just wait and see. Freddie's crazy. But we love Freddie.
Yes, we do.
Freddie's a lot of fun.
There is a stage where I'm starting to get a little concerned.
That's for you later.
It's got a guitar on it. I don't know.
We have all the comforts of home here. We have you with your Java. We have great entertainment. We have great conversation. We have bourbon around the corner. We can drink. We couldn't drink at the station.
It's actually encouraged.
It's encouraged here. We couldn't drink at the... This is true. What am I saying? I don't work there anymore. But we can do a lot here that... Yeah, we kind of did there too, I guess. But we...
Oh, this place is just...
It's amazing. Stunning. People have to come down here and really take a look and see what you have created. Yeah. This and people, it takes a lot to be able to get on in front of a camera and start talking. So people need to learn how to do this.
Yes, they do.
They do need to learn how to do this. So if you want to learn how to be a podcaster like us and like you will be. Look at him.
I really know nothing about podcasting. What can you use music on podcasting or not?
You can.
To a point. Yeah.
You could put somebody up there acoustically.
Oh, yeah. If they own the rights and the licensing and stuff, they can actually absolutely play their own stuff. Distribution gets harmed a little bit when you use stuff that,
Think.
Yeah,
but then again, I don't know. I could say what I didn't say, and I don't know if that would be good or if that would be okay or if it would... If the feds would be at the parking lot when I walk.
No, nobody, no.
So language-wise, it's
no,
not part
of it. No, not at all.
Yeah. It's just the rights to stuff.
Cause that's it. Licensed stuff you stay away from and everything else is fair game.
Everything else is fair game.
And so you couldn't just set it up and have a radio show on the podcast.
You could.
But you couldn't with the music. It has to have music.
Yeah. I mean, there are ways, like a lot of podcasters will pay, like they have smaller versions of the licensing thing, right, where you pay a couple $100 a month and then, you know, that they split that with the royalties. You just report what the stuff that you paid, and supplement it by advertisers. But it's harder to do that on YouTube, Facebook, and whatever, because they shut that stuff down pretty quickly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So. But see, we have all the best of the best here, because we've got the best of the radio people that have come down here. We really do. And they've been in the area forever and ever. In fact, they're bringing you on today. You're one of the best of the best. I mean, you've been here forever.
Well, I'm here anyway.
So humble.
But this is like the best place that we can go to and still enjoy what we do. Now we're enjoying it. Before it was a job. We were, you know, reporting in 8 to 5, and now we come here and we bring on our guest and we enjoy the people that come down here, and people enjoy coming down here and seeing what he has created, because this is just like a TV station.
It is really
it's fantastic. Well,
and the cost of like entry into this kind of stuff is so low. I mean, you could take a cell phone, you know, prop it up on a tripod, and you can have like a show that has the similar kind of distribution, but this is just a, you know, polished up version of that.
Oh, absolutely. And if anybody out there would like to learn how to be a
to set up
video
again, another setup. So Justine, and here's what she's hinting at, because Justine and I have teamed up on this, and I'm opening a makerspace up in Struthers. Mm-hmm. And so it's basically a building that we're going to be teaching lots of different skill sets, things that you can in different
areas
of expertise. We're going to have people that do everything from, you know, podcasting to art and editing to jewelry making, all that kind of stuff. And they're going to share their expertise and teach how, if you want to get involved, you know, in those industries, it's a good starter, you know, place to get started.
And we'll have instructors coming on.
Instructors from all over the place.
You will have a diploma or a
certificate
or, stating that
you will graduate from Maker University.
Mm-hmm. Maker University. How's
Maker
that
University.
Sound? MU.
MU. Better than FU.
MU. So this is what we want to do. We want to help people down the road that have an interest in this, expand their possibilities, expand maybe going into their own business after they learn the proper tools and the proper things to do.
One of my favorites is like watching a kid who just figures out how to do live streaming and those early entries into mm-hmm. that, where they're just kind of feeling their way through.
Right.
And honestly, I mean, kids don't do a bad job of creating the, you know, the character that's easy to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't get into watching other people play games, and that's a good deal of what, you know, the streaming is out there right now. Mm-hmm. But there's some personalities that do a fairly good job, and they don't have professional training at all.
Right. And if we can help somebody along the way, maybe they want to start their own company, they just don't have the proper tools or where to even begin, take one of the courses and expand your horizons. It's just that easy. And if somebody has a course or an idea that they think that they want to get into, and they're asking, do we offer that? Private message us, let us know.
Or I'll just have, if you've got an expertise, I'll hire and contract you as individuals to teach that class. So you can have a little second income.
Exactly. So if you are an instructor, maybe you are out of work and you're looking to pick up some part-time.
Yeah.
We'll definitely bring you on board.
Yeah, and a couple of people I talk to, like they're, you know, they don't think they're an expert enough. But think about it this way, that there are so many people that aren't even on your level that could really benefit for even what you know. So even though you're not a professor and you don't have, you know, training that way, you're ahead of somebody out there, mm-hmm. right? And so you can bring that expertise and at least bring somebody up to wherever you are.
It's just passing it forward pretty much.
Yeah.
So paying it forward. So yeah, again, if you are a instructor or if you are somebody that would like to learn how to do something, be instructed by, send us a private message. We'll get back to you and we'll let you know and hopefully fit you in the calendar of when and where and who and what. And
yeah, you might even get in front of a classroom with Justine here speaking and teaching. So
learning how to walk and chew gum at the same time.
That's a
now
good class.
That's a talent.
That's a good class.
let's see here real quick. Want to say hi to Debbie McCrimmon. She's actually, I went to school with her. She's in Corpus Christi, Texas listening. So, you know, thank you, Debbie, for watching. We appreciate that. And thank you for the comment. Great show. And, you know, it's all about you guys and helping support us. We'll help support you, and everybody's a win-win, you know? So yeah, what a fun show we
that
had
was cool.
with you
Thank
today.
You, TJ, for
Thank
stopping
you, TJ,
in on this.
For talking to me instead of Freddie today.
This will go to our grave.
Oh, he's probably Never watching know. It on the way in here, going, "He did it again to me.
Sniped my guest."
That's okay. He did it to me. Turnabout's fair play, Freddie.
Yep. I see this going down.
All right. So I want to thank Thomas John for being our incognito guest behind the Bernie mask without the gloves for giving us insight as to his life and times at different radio stations that we worked at throughout. Okay. So, yeah, it was great to see you. And Joe, you're looking good and
thank
refreshed.
You.
And
thank you.
We're hoping to keep it this way and yep. I don't drive you crazy, make you lose your hair or anything. You know, all right. Yep. So, all right. Thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk with Justine Thomas. We'll have another segment coming up on Thursday. Take care now. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you. And let's face it, you've got